North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. How are we? Are we good? Are we sure? Huh? I don't know. It doesn't sound all that sure this morning. Yeah, we're good? You know, I'm going to be a lot better if my computer comes back on. There we go. All right, there we go. So just like Debbie, I don't do very well if I don't have my notes close to me. And we're doing the pass around the mic thing today. So thank you for your patience with us. So glad to have you here at North Rock this morning as we continue in a series that we've titled Naturally Supernatural. And in this series we kicked off last week, we've been talking about this idea that it really was in God's mind. It was his purpose, it was his plan, and it was his desire that when he went to that cross and he jumped up from that grave at Easter, that we would really live naturally supernatural lives. I mean, really, that's how the story began. That's what he wanted to see occur, that we would live a life fully empowered by his Spirit. How many of you guys are up for some of that this morning, right? We're talking about what the role of the Holy Spirit is in the Scriptures, how it is that we can access those things without it becoming, you guys have ever heard the term hokey spirit, right? Anybody ever have a hokey spirit experience at times where maybe it's the way that somebody's representing the Holy Spirit in their life was a little weird, a little odd, a little off, a little hyper-emotionalized, right? Come on, we can speak truth in church, right? We've all been there. I've probably even done that at times. We don't always get it dead down the center on how God wants to express his life in us. But the good news is that he wants to express his life through us. That really, that's what being a follower of Jesus is all about. And I can tell you one thing, that if we try to live out this whole idea called Christianity, this whole concept of pursuing God's best with our lives, pursuing the things that are in the Word of God, and try to do that in our own strength, that's a really, really bummer way to live. Is that honesty from a pastor today? You guys okay with the pastor being honest? That it's really not any fun at all to try to live out all that the Scriptures say are true about us in Christ without the power of Christ residing in us. Okay, so that's why we're talking about this series. And last week, Andrew did a great job in kind of setting up the series, talking to us about what the Holy Spirit wants to do and how he's active in our lives. And he used a controlling image of the flag at Iwo Jima. You guys can pull that up in your mind even if you weren't here, right? That he talks about the Holy Spirit being sent in our lives is like that flag being planted on that mountaintop, right? That it was being planted to say, I'm here, I'm represented. And that's what the Scriptures teach us, that the Holy Spirit was sent as a deposit of the promises that God has over our lives. I don't know about you, but that's good news. It's good news because this world that we live in tends to come with some challenges at times. Anybody experience a few of those this week? Any of them see them going on around in just the media, right? All kinds of challenges, but God's promise is that no matter what you're walking through, I am in your midst. I'm here with you, and I'm willing to walk through it with you. Amen? So that's what we're talking about, experiencing the miraculously mundane realities of this world. And for those of you that aren't tracking with me yet, you need to pray for your pastor, or if I just have a hyperactive imagination. But sometimes when I'm like watching TV and a commercial comes on, I have this thought that says, that'll preach. So I wanted to show you a quick video that I saw. Some of you guys might recognize it.
Check this out, bro. What's that, Brohim? I switched to Geico and got more.
More savings on car insurance?
Yeah, professor, and more, like renter's insurance.
More ways to save. Nice, bro-tata chip.
That's not all, protein shake. Geico has motorcycle and RV insurance, too.
Ooh, that's a lot more.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about more, Teddy Roosevelt.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Yeah, so now I've really laid it out there, haven't I? How is he going to use that to preach into something, right? Well, I thought it was an appropriate picture for several reasons. One, it's that reminder that if you're that guy on the right at the gym, you're not my favorite person in the world, okay? Because most of the time when I'm at the gym, I feel a lot more like the guy on the left, looking at it going, man, you know, I'm doing the same things he's doing, but, you know, it's not quite showing up the way that it's showing up there. So, yeah, I use that picture because we can all identify with that. And the picture for me represents the power of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. So, you know, the idea of the picture on the right here, or your left, is a picture of the power of God that resides in those who call him Lord. That really, as God looks at you, says, that's who you are in Christ. Right? That's what the scriptures teach. That by the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that's what we just got done singing about, that's who he says we are spiritually. Now, for most of us, we feel a little bit more like this dude. We're like, let me get those fives out again, right? And the challenge is, if we don't deal with that perception of who we are in Christ, we miss out on a lot of the power of what God wants to do in our lives. Is that fair? Does that make sense? That's what we're talking about, is that while we do the things that we read about and live out the things that God's promised in his word, he does that in us. He releases him through us through miraculously mundane situations in life, right? I don't know about you, but I want to be that kind of spiritual powerhouse where God's flexing in me that needs like a stage for 5 billion people, right? And you just say three things and everybody goes, oh, right? Can I just say that if I've underwhelmed you even in the least bit, it's okay. Because I've been doing it to myself for 42 years now, right? But I honestly think that's part of God's genius, is that that's his promise, that he is that in that. That we don't have to be the spectacular, because he is all that we need in our lives. So my hope is that as we look at what the scriptures teach about the Holy Spirit, not just today, but throughout this series, that more and more and more and more little snapshots are going off in our mind of, hey, that's the Holy Spirit in our life. Hey, that's another way that God's moving in my life. And we'll do another curl. We'll do another exercise, right? As Jesus begins to flex his life through us. Okay? So, but if we're going to do that, we have to understand both why he gives us strength and what he wants to do because of the strength that he releases in us, right? Good news of the gospel is that God has empowered his church for the purposes that he sent us here. And that's to be a witness. It's to be those who represent him and remind people that Jesus has come. He sealed the deal and he sent his Holy Spirit as a deposit to remind us. The bad news is, if we don't recognize the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives, we end up treating the Holy Spirit like the kid brother of the Trinity. Let me expound on that for a minute, right? The Father's role in creation, pretty straightforward, right? You can read it, it's like, bang, I got that. Got it, right? Jesus' role on the cross, bang, pretty straightforward, cut clear, right? The Holy Spirit, see, my opinion is the Holy Spirit gets blamed for a whole lot of stuff that he didn't do, right? Like the kid brother. It's like, they did it. That's the Holy Spirit. They did it. And you're like, well, if it doesn't align to really, you know, magnify who God is and reinforce what the scriptures teach, that's not the Holy Spirit, right? But the other side of that coin isn't just that he gets blamed for a whole lot of stuff that can be a little hokey. It's that we miss out on the things that we can celebrate of his life being poured out in and through our lives and the day-to-day activities of our lives. How many of you guys, like me, are thankful that Jesus chooses vessels that don't have to be spectacular in order to be effective in what he's called us to do, right? Because he poured it all out. He poured it all out at Calvary. And when we go into that water, like we're getting ready to celebrate some baptisms around here. These are my favorite weekends. When we get to baptize people, as our whole life goes under, his whole life pops out. So the type of power that we can live the Christian life with is what we saw there. And Pastor Andrew asked a great question last week. He posed the question, he says, it's not the question we need to answer is, do I have the Holy Spirit? It's the question of, does the Holy Spirit have me? Right? And for me, the question that we're going to wrestle with today, and we're going to look into the scriptures to see if we can get a few additional snapshots of how God shows up in the day-to-day activities of our lives, is to answer the question, how is it and what is it that it looks like for the Holy Spirit to have me, okay? Anybody in the room want the Holy Spirit to have you? Yeah, come on, let's see those hands. I'm here. I'd raise both of them, but the microphone would go up and you couldn't hear me if I did that, all right? So let's pray, and we're going to jump into the word here today. Father God, we thank you for your goodness, for your promises. Lord, we thank you that as we look into your word today, it's not just for the purposes of us learning something, Lord, but it's for the purposes of us knowing you personally. It's for the purposes of us acknowledging and really taking hold of the promises that you've spoken over our lives. And so, Lord, today we believe your word, Romans 8:11, that says the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in me, lives in me. Lord, reveal yourself through the scriptures. Cause us to be a people who seek you day in and day out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, my goal with the rest of the time that we have in our service today is to clear up all the extraneous issues about the Holy Spirit with you today. So at the end of this message, you're going to know everything that there is to know about the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a good thing? And you guys are like, he's full of it, right? Yeah, it's okay. It's true. It's true. The Holy Spirit is a little bit harder to get your hands around. But it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be something that we can access, right? So that was God's desire, his intent, was that we would live through his power. So in order for that to happen, we have to know a little bit about how he wants to work in our lives. Two major categories that you'll see throughout the scriptures of the New Testament are the fruit. Everybody say the fruit. And the gifts. And the gifts. Good. So you guys are good trained church folk, right? You just answer things even when I tell you not to. That's a really good job. Okay? So generally speaking, those are the two areas that Jesus shows up and flexes in our lives as we make ourselves available to do the mundane things that he calls us to do. Okay? So Galatians chapter 5 is really kind of the picture of the fruit in us, the Holy Spirit in us, where it's focused more on our character and our discipleship, how that coming into a relationship with Christ releases his character as we're discipled, right? So that's the picture that I want you to think about. When I read Galatians 5, 22 through 23, in just a minute, I want you to remember the guy over on the left side that you're looking at, right? That's who he says we are in him. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. How many of you guys are up for a little bit more of what that list is, right? And that's that reminder, that's that promise, is all of that, is all of how God wants to represent his life through us. So when you run into somebody that exhibits peace in the name of Jesus, that's a spiritual fruit. When we have to exercise love because we're around people that can sometimes act a little unlovely. Can we be honest in church, right? Not everybody's lovable, but we're called to love people. And when we're able to do that, that's part of Jesus flexing his muscles in our lives. So the promise, the reminder, the goal of today's message is that we wouldn't just every once in a while come up, touch, and visit and say, oh yeah, Jesus promised me peace. Ooh, that was good. Man, that was a nice, whew, man, now I'm going to go back over here and be all stressed out again, right? It's that peace is his promise in us. That because he resides in us, we can live lives that are characterized by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's a good promise. Hey, the reason that I share that is because this particular teaching, depending on what your background is, we tend to place an emphasis on either the fruits or the gifts, right? The fruits being more about this is Jesus working his life out in your life as we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's about the fruit. It's about these things being characterized in our lives. But can I just be honest with you? Sometimes in church, we place the marker way too far over on this side where it becomes just about this own personalized exercise of, oh, I'm getting more love. I'm getting more peace, right? We just create this little safe environment. Can I just remind you that the Holy Spirit was poured out on humanity so that we live dangerous lives and not just personal lives, right? So if you haven't had a chance to look at those gifts, and maybe today this is the first time you're hearing this, that this is what God says is true about you as we follow him, okay? So that's the fruit. That's on this one side of the spectrum. And then there's the gift side that we're going to read about in 1 Corinthians 12, where the Holy Spirit is kind of poured out upon, right? Anybody ever have one of those moments where you were just in the middle of something and the Holy Spirit showed up and just did something in your life and you're going, whoa, that was amazing, right? See, and here's the challenge is if that's our experience, I mean, we're a Pentecostal church, so we're known for a lot of like big event buildup, a lot of emotional heightened, you know, mountaintop experience of the Holy Spirit being poured out on us. That sometimes we can make the mistake of thinking that up on that mountaintop is the only time that God shows up in our lives. Am I talking to anybody today? That we remember this thing that happened back in 75 or 84 or 96. And we say, oh man, when I was there, God really moved in my life. Right? When the reality is, he's moving in our lives all the time. We just don't always acknowledge that it's him doing these things that we're talking about here in his name, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10 is what we're gonna look at today as we explore a little bit more about how the Holy Spirit manifests his presence and shows up in our lives. It says that in chapter 7, it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues, right? In other words, different traditions, different individuals stress different parts of this. But if you get the idea of what's being talked about right there, it's kind of like this Holy Spirit popcorn experiment going off, right? It's like all these gifts, all these places. If we could see in the spiritual and see ourselves as Jesus sees us as that really yoked dude over on the right that's experiencing the Geico promises, we'd see that all those gifts are resident in this place. My prayer for this church is that we become naturally supernatural. That we don't make a great big scene, you know, bloop, 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 bloop. God does this every time something happens. We just do what God asks us to do. We listen to what the Holy Spirit says. We act on what he asks us to do, and we move on. Is that a good place to live? Give him credit, Lord. Thank you that you heal. Thank you, Lord, that you show up. You do these things, and that we both contend for them, and we call down as our inheritance the promises of your word in our lives, right? Because here's what happens. If we just get the fruit, if we just concentrate on how Jesus wants to change our character into his character because he's given us his character, then sometimes we can have a discipleship model that only exists up here in our heads and only exists in our personal life. And God's got so much more that he wants to reveal in us. And it ends up lacking impact. There's no power in it, right? Where we rehearse, we remind ourselves, we recite, we memorize all those scripture verses, but it doesn't have a lot of tangible impact on the way that we go about our day-to-day, right? The other side is the power without the character, the power without the fruit, where it's all about, I can manifest these great things, I can call down these mountains of Jesus in Jesus' name, but there's not a character that represents him, and that can sometimes lead to spiritual abuse. Because we see somebody on a stage that's really, really gifted in what they do, and we go, wow, that guy's anointed. Amazing, right? See, can I just say that one of the downsides of our current church culture is that we tend to make too much about these guys. When God's promise, his plan, is that the same Spirit that lives in me lives in you. And we're a church that's called to do less. What do I want to say? I got stage stuck in my head. Less show, more go. See, that was just a test for y'all. See if anybody's been listening to me over the last year and a half. Thank you, Don, for saving me. So, anyway, that wasn't in my notes. That's just extra. You can take that. That's a good thing, okay? See, but the reality is I've run into a lot of people, y'all, that say I got a relationship, love Jesus, but they're hungering for a greater expression of his Spirit in their life. Can I just admit to you, I'm the pastor and I'm that guy. I want to see God move more and more and more in the miraculous as I become okay just being this guy over on the left going, all right, Lord, if you say to do it, we're going to do it, right? And when he does that, he transforms life. He does amazing things, but he doesn't always call CNN to broadcast it. Does that make sense? He doesn't always make it about a big volcano eruption. Boom! But over and over and over and over as his body is... has sent out, to be more go, less show. He touches people's lives and he does what only he can do. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 gives us a really small command, one that we're concentrating on in this series, and it basically says this. If you don't get anything else from what I said today, grab this one, take it home, pray about it, okay? He basically tells the church, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that sounds overly simplistic, doesn't it? But can I tell you that it's hard to be filled with the Holy Spirit? To feel like you're filled, like filled. Think about filled, right? How many of you guys have filled bank accounts? Yeah. Right? They tend to leak. Well, you know what? As humans, we tend to leak. God says, boom, I poured out my spirit on you. Leak. And that's why we got to keep coming back to the well. We got to keep renewing the resources of the heavens in our lives, right? That's the idea. That's the purpose. That's what he wants to do in our lives. That we would be filled to overflowing with his spirit. And I love that he doesn't present it as a suggestion, right? Like sometimes I can lose my courage up here and I'll be like, you know, if it's all right with you guys and, you know, you're not too busy and it's okay with you, maybe we ought to consider possibly the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not what he said. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Two things stand out to me about that particular passage. One is it really is that simple. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus secured you being filled with the Holy Spirit. So be filled. Second thing that it reminds me of is that power is resident and available in my life. That if I'll deal with my perception issues of, oh, nobody wants to listen to me because I look like this dude over here on your right, my left, that God shows up and does amazing things in people's lives. I'm telling you, I've seen so many lives transformed through the ministry of this church. So many. And so we're thankful for that. But the purpose of us talking about this be filled with the Holy Spirit is because God has power to activate his life in us. That he does not lack for power. He's the all-powerful one. And so as his followers, how many of you guys would say, yeah, I should get some of that inheritance, right? I should live a powerful life in the things that he says are him and what he wants to do in our lives. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command, not a suggestion. It's not an upgrade. It's not a hood ornament. It's not a badge of honor, right? Ooh, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power? Yep. It's not what it is. It's purposeful, it's personal, and it's practical work that he wants to do in and through our lives. It's an experience more than it's anything else. How many of you guys that are from the area here remember that power outage we had not too long ago leading up to Easter? Right? Can I just tell you, we got like 7 feet of snow in like an hour and a day and a half, right? All right, so it was more like 2.5 feet. All right, 18 inches. All right. Either way, it's a lot of snow and it knocked out our power grid. And it was kind of one of those situations where I was at home, it was early in the morning, and you started to see the lights flicker a little bit, and you go, uh-oh. And then it came back, and I went, yay, whoever controls the power, woohoo! And then it went out again. And he went, oh, no. And then it came back on again, and we went, yay! And we tried to turn things back on, and we were so upset because, you know, cable doesn't work with the channels. If it loses power, you got to guess what's on TV. It's not fun. And then the worst case scenario happened. The power went out and it didn't come back on. Like, we're all just sitting around looking at each other. Jody, the girls, myself, the dog. We're like, what do we do? There's no power in the house. Well, let's play again. No, we can't play again. Let's watch a movie. No, can't watch a movie. And so we started to adjust to life without power for the day. And it's a good thing we made some adjustments because it was out for over 7 hours at our house. I don't know when it came on for you guys, but it was like a whole day. And I was like all courageous at first, like, oh, this is going to be fun. We can do stuff. We can play board games. We can do all. And then I got hungry and realized we can't cook any of our food if we don't have any power. And so my wife, bless her heart, she like went into this whole survivalist mentality. Like, I didn't know she had it in her. And she's like, all right, I'm getting the candles out. I'm going to go get this back up. And she starts actually cooking soup with a single candle under it. I was like, oh, you are amazing. Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? And the day kind of went on like that. And after about 4 or 5 hours, I had lost my patience with this whole power outage. And I started getting a little upset and saying, why don't they turn the power back on? And how is it that we can knock down power, blah, blah, blah? But here's the purpose of the story is that we're meant to live with power, right? That we all have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And yet I would be willing to say from the stage that some of us sometimes settle for living the one candle life expression of what Jesus wants to do in us. Like we're like, he's so good that, okay, he just wanted to bless me back then. No, can I tell you, he has power for today, power for now, power for here. And here's the best part of that story that I just told you is that Jody was so patient with cooking with that single candle that the power came back on while she was still trying to get that hot. I mean, we heated that can of soup for like 4.5 hours, and it just wasn't going to happen. But the power came back on. I went over and I kind of looked at her smugly, and walked past her, went and grabbed my food, and walked past her again, put it in the microwave, dialed that thing on, beep, boop, 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 beep, and I ate before her soup ever got ready. Okay? I say that to confess I'm not a great husband sometimes, and I'm very competitive. But I also say that to say that life with the power that we've been given is a fun way to live the Christian life. That's how God wants us to feel empowered, full of his presence, full of the power that he has for us. Jesus' sacrifice naturally releases naturally supernatural power in our lives. But the key for us to access that is to do the stuff that we read about doing in the scriptures and to remind ourselves that when he does something, that we thank him for, that we train our eyes to see, oh, I have patience with that person. I normally don't have patience with that person. That's the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, I just feel love for that person. Man, they drive me crazy. That's the Holy Spirit in us, right? But that's what he wants to do. You know, a guy that I respect very much recently passed away. He's a father, a founder of some very important churches in our Foursquare movement. A guy named Jerry Cook wrote a little book called The Holy Spirit, So What's the Big Deal? And in it, he kind of boils down everything that I've been talking about for the last 24 minutes to this one statement. He says, to be Pentecostal or to believe that the Holy Spirit is actually here, resides and gives us power, right, is to recognize and acknowledge the reality of Christ's immediate and active presence through the Spirit. Spirit baptism is not for decoration effect or ego, but rather to enable the Spirit-filled believer to be Jesus in any situation as the faithful presence of Christ in this world. Isn't that good? So I say all that to say that when the power came back on in our house, all I did was walk over and flip the switch. I flipped it on. The power came on. And I didn't feel like I had to explain to my little girls and Jody. I didn't like gather them up and say, now let me explain to you about the way that power works. Now, earlier we tried to turn it on, it didn't come on. Now it came on, right? I didn't have to understand it to access it and to actually be blessed by it, right? Can I just offer that this morning? We don't have to know everything about the way the Holy Spirit works in our life to access what he wants to do in our lives. Is that too simple this morning? I'm glad nobody yelled out, yes. So I hate when I ask hypothetical questions and the one person in the far left, you know, thinks I'm talking to them, right? All we got to do is flip the switch, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what I hope to do over the next several weeks as we work in this series is help us be reminded that his promise is that we would be filled and not just get by with the rations that we have in the house. That we'd be filled and overfilled and refilled. And that's really how he anticipates, that's how he works through his church to reach other people. He fills us, and we pour it out on his behalf. And he fills us, and we pour it out on his behalf. And he fills us, and we pour it out on his behalf. But let me ask you this. If I see Jesus and his resource through the Holy Spirit as a resource that's not renewable, what do I end up doing? He fills us. And I try to keep it all to myself. I try to live a safe little life, right? He fills us so that he can pour it out through us again and again and again and again. So a couple of ways that the Holy Spirit shows up in our lives, a couple of ways the Holy Spirit wants to show himself strong on your behalf, to show his power on your behalf. I'm going to talk about four or five things right now, and I hope that they're like little flashbulbs in your life, and you say, oh, I see where God did that in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you are alive and active in my life. According to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, and 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, the Holy Spirit is the agent that convicts us of sin. Now, how many of you guys have ever felt convicted of sin in your life? Oh, look at all you awesome folks, man. They're just like, yep, that's me. I love it. I love it. I always say, don't feel like you have to raise your hand, but you guys beat me to the punch. So I love that. I love that because to me, someone who for a lot of years tried to live out the life without Jesus in it, I love that he convicts me of my sin. I love that it wasn't just one time when I gave my life to him, I confessed my sin and it never happened again. I love that every time I confess my sin, he's faithful to forgive me of that sin and to restore me to full. Does that make sense? And I just, you know, again, the way the Holy Spirit works naturally, supernatural. I had someone in our service come up during the worship time and say, I feel like there are some people here that maybe are hopeful today that God can forgive them today, but they're not sure. Can I just say, you can be sure. You can be sure in Jesus. That's naturally supernatural. That's a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy that's being delivered through me, but not in a way where we all kind of changed our voices, right? Like I didn't go, the Lord would say unto thee. Right? You can do it naturally supernatural. God has that word for us today, that he convicts us of our sin, not just so he can convict us of sin, but so that we can receive the forgiveness that his power releases in our lives. Reminder today for all of us, he has forgiven us of our sins, all of them. He took them to the cross in Jesus' name, right? The Spirit brings life and freedom, right? You guys ever run into those Christians that are just a little too lifey, a little too happy for your taste, right? It's like, oh, come on, get some perspective, people. Are you not paying attention at all, right? That's the life of the Holy Spirit in our life, that he releases life and freedom, that he fills his children with peace and with joy. Again, good reasons to follow Jesus, right? How many of you guys could use a little more peace and joy in your life? Yeah, you and me both. Thank you, Lord, that you flex life and freedom and joy and peace as we follow you. And finally, the thing we've been talking about this morning are that he shows up in our lives as members of God's kingdom community. He manifests his presence of the Spirit in our lives for the purpose of the common good of all, right? That's the part that we have to figure out, is that he doesn't just bless us to be blessed. He blesses us to be a blessing along the way as we share life with others, right? So three ways that I want to just remind us of how he works in our lives. Anybody ever run into somebody serving, right? That's one of the ways that the scripture talks about. That's how we pour out. That's how we do this in the Spirit. Serving people in Jesus' name is a spiritual gift. It falls under Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 as forms of service, right? Serving. How many of you guys understand that when we give towards Jesus' purpose, when we give towards the needs of his church, when we give towards him reaching more and more people with Christ, that that's a form of his spiritual muscle being flexed in us. That's as we do this little curl and we feel like all I've got is a few fish and a few loaves of bread. That's a spiritual gift. That's the Holy Spirit functioning and working through our lives. Serving, giving, caring, helping, right? That's all forms of the Holy Spirit's activity in the life of those who follow him. Then there's the miraculous ones, right? The faith that moves mountains. Anybody have that gift? I hope so, because if you do, I want to meet you after the service, because we got a few mountains we'd like to see relocated, okay? But that's part of the Holy Spirit's work in us. Faith that moves mountains. Faith for healing, right? We've seen so many people healed in this church. Working of miracles. Right? Those are the miraculous gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then there's the inspired utterances, like the one that we just shared happened during worship, or the teaching or the messages of wisdom and prophecy and knowledge and discernment, revelation, exhortation, and glossolalia and interpretation, right? That those are all ways that God shows up with his fingerprints in this world and says, this is my Spirit active and alive in you. So when we come to church and we hear a guy rant on stage and do a bunch of this stuff, we're not just doing that. We're exercising the spiritual muscles that God's given us. that he's speaking to us by his Spirit. He's reminding us, I've got good plans for you. I've got great plans for you. So three ways that I would like for us to be naturally supernatural in knowing how God shows up in our lives, okay? How many of you guys, like me, get a little freaked out when somebody says that's the Holy Spirit when, like, it doesn't reveal the Father, it doesn't line up with what Scripture teaches? You guys ever been in one of those situations? Like, you know, God's called me to go kill this dude. That's what the Holy Spirit told me, man. Right? It freaks me out. And so it's important that we have knowledge about what the Bible says, who the Holy Spirit is. And three ways that we can be sure that he's active in our lives is to be reminded that he's not just a wind that blows to and fro, but the Holy Spirit is personal. It's personal, that he lives in us. The Holy Spirit's personal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? I love that he had to ask the question, because sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I just barrel through life and I have to be reminded by that Holy Spirit to just say, hey, don't you realize? Don't you realize that that dude over here is living in you and he wants to do great things in people's lives? That as we experience him personally, we recognize his movements. We recognize how he's moving in us. He teaches us. He reminds us. He comforts us. He advises us. He encourages us. He gives us strength, right? That's how the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. He guides us in the way that we should go. How many of you guys have ever felt prompted by the Holy Spirit? How many of you guys have ever felt guidance from him? How many of you guys feel guided by the words that we're talking about today, right? That's the Holy Spirit's active and enlivening work in our lives. But it's not just personal. It's not just for me. It's practical, right? It's practical. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says that we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. Can I just encourage us here today as his church, as those who are called to be naturally supernatural, that we receive his Spirit so that we can experience, so that we can know the wonderful things that he freely does in our lives. So that we can know the wonderful things that God has for us, right? So a lot of those are shown in the fruits in the Spirit. How many of you guys today are a little bit more encouraged saying, oh, okay, I can see how God's been moving in my life, right? How many of you can more see yourselves as Jesus sees you, as the person that has some spiritual muscle? That's what I'm hoping, is that you're sitting up in your seat a little bit stronger going, yeah, God's working through me. God's working in me. His Spirit's working, you know, throughout my life, right? Because that's what we're trying to reinforce here today, okay? Finally, I wanted to just talk for a real quick second on this idea of him being practical in our life by sharing something that Gordon Fee said. Gordon is a guy that's just a brilliant, brilliant man, scholar, you know, a theologian, but he wrote on this idea of the fruit working its way out in the lives of people as God manifests his power in their lives by saying this. He says, they live differently, this community of people. He says, they live differently, and they're empowered to do so because they are spirit people, whatever else they're spirit people. He says, the essential nature of spiritual fruit, writes Fee, is that the reproduction of the life of Christ in the believer and the believing community. That the essential nature of the fruit is the reproduction of the life of Christ in the believer and in the believing community. The fruit, as it's described in Galatians 5, is representative. Honestly, I've done this two other times, didn't have any of those problems. Though not an exhaustive list of the traits that mark a Christian who's living in the Spirit and in community. He goes on to say that the fruit of the Spirit is a description of corporate life, not individual piety. He goes on and finishes by saying, the very individualizing of the fruit of the Spirit is part of the problem. So again, the Holy Spirit shows up in a personal way. He shows up in a practical way. And the last thing I want you to remember is the Holy Spirit shows up in a purposeful way. Okay, that it's his purpose that as we do the duty that he's called us to do, to be filled with his Spirit, that he shows up on purpose in other people's lives. That's the good news, that as we do this, he reveals himself as that in their lives. Amen? So, The question that we've all been talking about today is do you feel, as you sit here today, full of the Holy Spirit? Do we feel full? Because if we don't, we can. Flip the switch. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up as we close out the service. And I just want to remind us today that God's will and God's purpose in our life isn't that we would just struggle and barely make it through life, but rather he wants us to thrive. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit. He wants us to be so filled with his Spirit that we have courage and conviction to live dangerous lives in his name. That really the purpose of this whole Christian exercise isn't to come and get a nice little comfy piece of land, but rather that he would turn us into people who look like that in this world, spiritually speaking. Amen? So here's the question. One, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Today, as you sit here today and we talk about the manifest presence of how God works in fruit and in gifts, can you identify those things in your life? Because if you can't, it's okay. But Jesus wants to do that in our lives. A couple of ways we see that happened in the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Acts 2:4 says that the Holy Spirit came through like a rushing wind and that people spoke in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability, right? It says that everyone was present, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages. And then in Acts chapter 18, it talks about another way. It says that they came across some followers of Jesus, but Peter and John laid hands on those people, and they were filled, and they received the Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you that that God freely gives his Spirit to us? If we'll train our eyes to see that he wants to actively engage in us, if we'll deal with our own spiritual perception issues of saying, kind of like that guy on the other side, that he'll show up powerfully in our lives again and again and again. So as we pray through this song, what's the name of the song again? Oh, Same Power, right? As we sing through this song, Same Power, one more time, would you ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit once again? Would you remind yourself and remind the devil and remind Jesus that that's part of the inheritance of living in him, amen? That we can be full of his Holy Spirit. And we've got a prayer team that's available. If you would like to receive prayer today to be filled with the Spirit, we're here, we're ready. We'd love to pray that prayer with you of faith, okay? So let's pray, let's worship, and then I'll come up and close out our service. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your promise to us today. The same Spirit that conquered the grave lives in us through faith in Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, that as we got into your word, as we worshiped this morning, that you have filled us. You have filled us anew. You have filled us afresh. You have filled us to overflowing, Lord. Help us to live on mission as people fully empowered by your Holy Spirit. That the Lord has encouraged your heart and built up the fullness of his Spirit in you. Would you just acknowledge that by giving him a clap of applause? Could you just remind him that, God, we see you, we recognize the work that you're doing in our lives, and we are thankful. We are thankful. We are thankful, Lord, that we don't do this in our strength, but in your strength, in Jesus' name. A couple of things I'd like to do now is remind us that the reason we can pray in boldness and say the same power lives in me lives in you is because of what Jesus did at Calvary, what Jesus did by being resurrected from the grave, and the promise that today, no matter where you come into this place, no matter where you feel you're at with the Lord, he's here, he's present, he's ready to receive us into relationship with him. And around here, we pray a very simple prayer almost every single week of our faith and our dedication and our belief that if we can confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus really did die on that cross, really was risen from the grave, and really did send his Holy Spirit for us to live out this experience in him, that we can receive that, just like turning on a light switch, right? Amen. That's what we believe here. So we're going to pray that prayer, but I wanted to say just one thing before we pray. It's already up there behind me, isn't it? They're so good. Sound team, give it up for the sound team. They're amazing. Woo! They're amazing. But again, I like us to think about these spiritual gifts as an ever-unfolding revelation and understanding of how God's active and working in our lives. Again, we don't have to pass the test. All we have to do is accept the power that he offers us, right? But a couple of ways that we can grow in our understanding of it. The first would be, I would like to invite anybody that would like to go take a spiritual gift survey. It's available on our website, northrockchurch.com. And then I'd really like to encourage you to go on to our app. We have a church app through Unleash. There's instructions on how to do that. And talk to us about how those gifts are activated in your life and what you're learning about how God's using you through those gifts, okay? Second thing I wanted to invite you to do is take a course, a class that we have available on our iConnect classes that Pastor Tom Edwards did an amazing job putting together, a five lesson class and a 10 lesson class that'll help you go deeper in your understanding about how the Holy Spirit wants to show himself strong on your behalf, okay? But most of all, I just want to encourage us that as we pray this prayer for the first time or the 50th time, whatever it is that your experience is here today, that we remember that when we pray this prayer, that dude shows up in our lives. That Jesus is alive and he's living through us. Amen? So let's pray to be filled with his Spirit. Let's pray to be refilled with his Spirit. And let's do it again and again and again until we're fully convinced that the Holy Spirit lives, resides in us in a personal, in a practical, in a purposeful way in our lives. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, and follow you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and I trust. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, the Lord's doing something in your life. Can you give him a clap of applause? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I would love to meet you after the service. I got a little something we call a yes packet that they're bringing up to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's got a Bible in it. It's got just some things to help you get started on your journey with Jesus. And if you're here for that baptism that we just talked about, we're going to be giving you some instructions as soon as I dismiss her, okay? So God bless you. Thank you for being here. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I would love to meet you. Otherwise, hold on for Pastor Andrew's going to tell us about the baptism, all right? God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.